Take your Bibles now and turn to 2 Kings chapter 9. This evening we are reading the entire chapter, verses 1 through 37. 2 Kings chapter 9. Hear now the word of the Lord God. Now Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets and said to him, "Gird up your loins and take this flask of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. When you arrive there, search out Jehu the son of Jehoshaphat the son of Nimshi and go in and bid him arise from among his brothers and bring him to an inner room. Then take the flask of oil and pour it on his head. And say, 'Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel.' Then open the door and flee, and do not wait." So the young man, the servant of the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. When he came, behold, the captains of the army were sitting, and he said, "I have a word for you, O captain." And Jehu said, "For which one of us?" And he said, "For you, O captain." He rose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. You shall strike the house of Ahab your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab every male person, both bond and free in Israel. I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah. The dog shall eat Jezebel in the territory of Jezreel, and none shall bury her." Then he opened the door and fled. Now Jehu came out to the servants of his master, and one said to him, "Is all well? Why did this mad fellow come to you?" And he said to them, "You know very well the man and his talk." They said, "It is a lie. Tell us now." And he said, "Thus and thus he said to me, 'Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel.'" Then they hurried, and each man took his garment and placed it under him on the bare steps and blew the trumpet, saying, "Jehu is king." So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram with all Israel was defending Ramoth Gilead against Hazael, king of Aram. But King Joram had returned to Jezreel to be healed of the wounds which the Arameans had inflicted on him when he fought with Hazael, king of Aram. So Jehu said, "If this is your mind, then let no one escape or leave the city to go tell it to Jezreel." Then Jehu rode in his chariot and went to Jezreel, and for Joram was lying there. Ahaziah, king of Judah, had come down to see Joram. Now the watchman was standing on a tower in Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu as he came, and said, "I see a company." And Joram said, "Take a horseman, and send him to meet him, and let him say, 'Is it peace?'" So a horseman went to meet him, and said, "Thus says the king, is it peace?" And Jehu said, "What have you to do with peace? Turn behind me." And the watchman reported. The messenger came to them, but he did not return. Then he sent out a second horseman who came to them and said, "Thus says the king, is it peace?" And Jehu answered, "What have you to do with peace? Turn behind me." And the watchman reported. He came even to them, and he did not return. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously. And Joram said, "Get ready." And they made his chariot ready. Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot. And he went out to meet Jehu and found him in the property of Naboth, the Jezreelite. When Joram saw Jehu, he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace? So long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many." So Joram reined about and fled and said to Ahaziah, "There is treachery, O Ahaziah." And Jehu drew his bow with his full strength and shot Joram between his arms. An arrow went through his heart and he sank in his chariot. And Jehu said to Bidkar, his officer, take him up and cast him into the property of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For I remember when you and I were riding together after Ahab his father, the Lord laid this oracle against him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, says the Lord. And I will repay you in this property, says the Lord. Now then take and cast him into the property according to the word of the Lord. When Ahaziah the king of Judah saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house, and Jehu pursued him and said, shoot him too in the chariot. So they shot him at the ascent of Gur, which is at Ibleam. But he fled to Megiddo and died there. And his servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his grave with his fathers in the city of David. Now in the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, Ahaziah became king over Judah. When Jehu came to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she painted her eyes and adorned her head and looked out the window. As Jehu entered the gate, she said, is it well, Zimri, your master's murderer? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And two or three officials looked down at him. He said, throw her down. So he threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. When he came in, he ate and drank, and he said, see now to this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. They went to bury her, but they found nothing more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they returned and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the property of Jezreel the dog shall eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the corpse of Jezebel shall be as dung on the face of the field in the property of Jezreel. So they cannot say, this is Jezebel. That's the word of the Lord to us and for us this evening. In 1 Kings 19, 1 Kings, not 2 Kings, 1 Kings 19, Yahweh laid out his ordained instruments who would bring about judgment upon Israel. That was Hazael, Jehu, and Elisha. Elisha has already been working since that time. Hazael began his work in the last chapter, now chapter 9. Jehu begins his work. So the first 16 verses shows us Yahweh's word and his promises coming to fulfillment once again. And so you see what is going on here. This is dealing with verse 7, the house of Ahab, and then Jezebel. Verses 8 and 9, the house of Ahab. Verse 10, Jezebel. And now it seems Jehu is the instigator, and yet verse 7, 8, and 9, we see that Yahweh himself is actually behind all of it. Now the language, I shall avenge, I will cut off, I will make, is Yahweh saying these things about Ahab and Jezebel. So Jehu then, being anointed as king, would be hard to cover up as he went out to his servants as the son of the prophet that Elisha had sent. He fled. It would be hard as Jehu came out to hide that fragrant oil that was on his head that he was anointed with. And so the guys out there outside of the room where he was anointed, they would be wondering, what's going on? Why is there oil on your head? And that's why you see also the sudden response of coronation when Jehu says the prophet anointed him as king. And now you remember the current king, or previous king Joram, is at battle. But he has come back to Jezreel to be healed of his wounds. And Jehu, Ahaziah, and Joram are all now... Jehu's coming to the same place in Jezreel. But a wonderful thing here in these verses is we see the Lord avenging his people's sufferings. That suffering that has gone on under Ahab's reign, and after that, all those prophets being put to death, all the blood that was shed by Jezebel, and Yahweh's word is finally coming about here. We were probably wondering, or they would have been wondering, when is Yahweh going to avenge us? When is he going to deal with our enemies and deal with this pagan woman and Ahab, who has led Israel into great sin. And he comes about. He's faithful in his timing. And he's showing himself to be faithful again. But as we move on in verses 17 to 37, the rest of the chapter, we see Yahweh's justice actually coming about. So we see his word really focused in, and then his actual justice coming about. There's a continual trying to find out if peace is meant in the coming of Jehu. And yet when Joram himself goes out and Ahaziah himself goes with him, they ask if it is for peace that he has come, verse 22, and Jehu gives him a true response, which is a word of judgment. What peace, so long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many? How can there be peace when Jezebel is leading these things and has led these sons and even her own husband to great wickedness? Upon hearing this, Joram turns and his chariot around and gets out of there as fast as he can. He knows that this is trouble. But an arrow of Jehu strikes Joram and kills him. So the king, or the former king of Israel, is dead. Then he gives orders to where to take Joram's body, because he remembered the word of Yahweh, and he quotes Yahweh, verse 26. But this doesn't end with Joram and his death. Ahaziah must be put to death as well, as he's the son-in-law of Ahab. And that happens, verse 27. But then we see verse 30, as Jehu came to Jezreel, Jezebel hears about this. So she kind of gets dressed up. She puts eye makeup on. She puts other things on, adorned her head. She looked out the window to see, and she speaks to Jehu. And Jezebel here we see is put to death as well. But before they could bury her, the word of the Lord comes to fruition again, verse 36. And the property of Jezreel, the dog shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel will be as dung on the face of the field and the property of Jezreel. So they cannot say, this is Jezebel. And so we see this picture of dogs eating. What happens after dogs eat? They go to the bathroom, and so she becomes dung and on the face of the field. And so there's no way to recognize her any longer, and so she is judged in that. So what do we learn from Jezebel's death? We learn at least one thing, that the wicked, the demise of the wicked should be the joy of the righteous. It may sound crude to put it that way, but that only because the church has stopped living in the places of places like Psalm 83 and Psalm 84. We've forgotten what we've learned of how we ought to live in the Psalms, what we are taught there. And sometimes we can be shocked by the biblical attitude, like maybe we're shocked here of what happens to Jezebel. But God's people, and this time, and we with them, should praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Jezebel, for her dying. It's always good news for the saints when their oppressors are judged and removed. That's the word of 2 Kings 9. We see that word other places throughout the Scripture. Not that we should be seeking out the enemies, that they would be put to death, but that they would be saved. We're praying for that. We're praying for our enemies, loving them. But when they are judged and when they are removed, our oppressors, those people who oppress us, we should respond with great joy in the Lord, because He is exercising who He is, a just God, a one who is the judge of all the living and the dead. And we should be turned with great joy and stand in awe of God who has saved us from such things, and praising Him that we are not oppressed by such people anymore. So there's a biblical balance that must be there that we learn here. Let's pray. Father, we do praise You for the fact that You always are faithful to Your promises. Again, never once have You been unfaithful to Your promises. We are the ones who are constantly unfaithful to You, just as Israel was constantly unfaithful to You in the covenant that You made with them. And so, Father, we praise You that You've given us Your Son, and that You put the cursings upon him instead of us, so you have saved us from such things, that we are not judged, and we ought to stand in awe of you, the great God who is good and loving to us. And yet here, Father, we also learn that you are the God who brings judgment upon those who don't turn to the Lord in faith. And it is a gruesome picture of judgment. Here, what we find in the passage before us about Jezebel and how she dies and what happens even after her death. And she's not even given a proper burial because of her wickedness. Father, we pray that we would see this judgment. And even the judgment that follows death. And we would turn to you and trust in you and cling to you. But we would respond to such judgments with great joy because you're the God who is judge, and we glory in you. We praise you for your, not just your goodness, not just your love and your truth and your wisdom and all those, to us, good sounding things. But even you, we praise you because you are holy and you are just. And you're the God of wrath. So much so. You loved us so much so that you had your own begotten, only begotten Son endure that wrath for us. That's how holy you are. That even in saving us, you had to put your Son to death and curse him. And so, Father, we ask that we would have a better understanding of what the Psalms teach us, Psalm 83, Psalm 84, even, and how we ought to respond to the judgment of those who are wicked, those who oppress us, and who are our enemies. That we would respond with joy in who you are and who you show us you are. Again, we thank you that you kept your word. You promised that Jezebel would be put to death and that dogs would eat her and she would not be buried. That Ahab and his household and Jezebel and her household would be put to death, and that's what we will see in the future. And the coming chapters of 2 Kings. And so, Father, we praise you even for keeping your word in those things. Lord, we ask that you would keep your word to us, that you would never leave us nor forsake us, that you will watch over us, guard us, and keep us, that you will be our fortress, that your Spirit will be working in us and will never depart from us. And be with us this evening as we hear you speak to us about your Spirit again, and give us understanding of him, more of his work, and how he points to you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, care for us. Watch over us. Even now, show us your mercy because we are still sinning, even in this time. Lord, we want you to not be unfaithful to yourself, so you must be holy. And yet, Father, we pray that as you look upon us, you would see Christ's righteousness is perfection, even that this worship would be perfected by him as it comes to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.